First of all, Steve, what problems have you got in terms of injuries ahead of this Tranmere game?
I feel fine.
What about your squad?
Hamstrings are good, Paul. I've scored a few
today.
Raring
to go. I see you've got your trainers on as well. You're all good to go.
Hey, oldest and fattest player I've ever played for the club on a serious point. Lee Frecklington and Alec Rivella both trained today. Late training for them. Done a bit less than everyone else. So we'll have a little look tomorrow, see how they are. Very, very hopeful with Lee Frecklington because that was a lot of bit precaution on Saturday. Very hopeful. Still hopeful with Alex as well. And the only other two issues we have is Miles Addison had a lot of bit of sickness over the weekend after Saturday, but seems to be okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, dare we say it, we need to get this virus completely out of the camp. And then apart from that, our captain who's trained today after seeing the specialist and maybe on course for Saturday. So actually, in fact, we're in great shape.
That's great news about Morgan, isn't it? Because it's obvious what he brings to the team. But for him to be close now must be a real relief for you.
Yeah, it is, especially when you see a player complete a game and there doesn't appear to be an issue until he comes in and trains and then just feels something. And then a scan and an x-ray showing it's a lot of problems had for a couple of weeks. But, you know, credit goes to the medical team here, to Dennis and his staff and Paul Warren and Paul Reynolds have worked Craig incredibly hard. So if anything, actual fitness-wise, he'll come back in and straight fitter and leaner and ready for action. So really now it's just about his pain threshold with the minor operation he had in his toes. He's obviously got a little scar there, so it'll be about whether he can kick the ball with a retention of pain that's not going to stop him kicking it.
It's not often I've heard you say, as manager of this club, we didn't play well today. But you did on Saturday. Where did it fall down for you?
Well, I think we started in the right fashion and then we just became a little bit disjointed and a few passes went astray and something didn't feel right about the day from arriving, whether there was an expectation on the pitch and off it that this is only Crawley. But of course, when it's your job and you have to live and breathe it, you'd have realised that Crawley had gone to Wolves and lost a last minute goal again, an injury time equaliser at Wolves. And went to Leighton Orient and got a great result, beat them, and went down to Coventry and drew with them and should have beat them. So actually, when you looked at their main 11, they're an excellent side, probably as much experience as we have. But that just seemed to be forgotten a little bit, probably with more people on the pitch and off it. But as much as we didn't play well, we still controlled large parts of the game and we still had a counter-attack inside against us that probably hurt us once or twice, that, you know, threw a little bit of bad defending as well. So we just weren't really at it all over the pitch, and I can't say, hand on heart, I went back Saturday night with any players in my mind that played at the top of the game, and that's unusual for us. So sometimes you have them in a season, but it's not very often we've had it here.
What about the influx of new players? Did that affect it in any way, in your view?
Well, there was only one on Saturday, wasn't there? There was only Richie.
So. But in terms of new players coming to the squad, can that sometimes, short-term, just upset the balance at first before it gets better, or do you not agree with that?
Well, how can I agree with it? With the same squad, went down to Shrewsbury last week and went 3-0. Nobody mentioned it that week, did they? No, but when you don't win it, you don't play well, people will, of course, mention it. And you expect that, and we probably get as much scrutiny as anyone else because we're outperforming most people's expectations, unless you're now at Northern, because the expectation is now massive on us. Yeah. And there's a difference of outperforming expectation to being able to deal with expectation. And for the first time now, we've gone over halfway of the season. We've gone to the end of January. We want to be desperately in the playoffs when we leave Tranmere tomorrow night, because that will say the end of January, we're actually in the playoff zone. That was the target as we went into the January window. And the next target would be to be in that playoff zone at the end of February. But it's really tough, and people only need to look at the results on Saturday, Paul. There's a top team in League One who are 3-0 up on Saturday, 4-3 up in the 90th minute and lose 5-4. Yeah. That's how tough it is. And how tough is it? Look at the performance Sheffield United put in against Fulham, which I thought was top class. Nigel's getting everything from those lads. They're a point away from the relegation zone in League One. That tells you how tough it is.
But you've got different combinations, though, haven't you? You're going to have different combinations now, purely because you brought new players in. Two at the back are relatively new together. Midfield were relatively new, and the two strikers you started with were relatively new. Do you give them a bit of licence because of that?
No, not really. I don't think Alec Ravel's totally new, and him and Tom Hitchcock played, didn't they, at Shrewsbury?
Yeah, but in terms of together, the amount of games that these players have had together, isn't something you'd say they've had a stack load of games, because they haven't.
No, but we've still got 9-10 players out there that have been consistently in that side. So sure. I'm not going to allow it for. Yeah. I'm just not going to accept it as an excuse. What have we done? I think we said it. We've moved a group of players out that had no more than 8 or 9 appearances in total for this football club from August to December. That tells you those players are not good enough for whatever reason to be in this team at this time. So we need to create competition for the better players we've got. And I think we've done that. Because nobody in the world of football that's got a brain will say we're not stronger now than what we were when we entered the transfer window. And the transfer window was a bit going into it and leaving it stronger.
How do you class stronger? Does it turn you from a team that can challenge automatically? Does it change you from a team that might have just been able to hold on to a playoff place? How do you quantify making you stronger, do you think?
Well, our fight's to be in the playoffs. Our fight, at the start of the season was to embrace League One. Never to give our chairman a sleepless night would we get relegated. Let's look at the two recent events in League One. Chesterfield under John Sheridan blitzed them ourselves into League One.
Yeah.
And then the party started. And then the party finished with a wake because they were relegated. Mm. Let's look at us. We got into League One and then endorsed it and said we're going to have to embrace this league and we're going to have to earn the right to play in it. So our ambitions were sensible, which was let's not give your chairman a sleepless night, he could go the other way. He's worked 5 years and put millions and millions of pounds in to get us into League One. That's what we've embraced. What we've been able to do with the players we've had is been able to put runs of games together and get enough points to get us into that playoff zone. To stay there, we had to improve what we had, and that's options for competition for places. Because nothing will make Arneson and Morgan as a centre-back pairing play better than having one or two centre-backs competing to get in. Mm. Nothing will make Ravel, and whether it be Hitchcock, whether it be Tubbs, whether it be Vukic, whoever, Thomas, play any better than competition for places. And last week we were faced with a situation, we've got Lee Frecklington who's very doubtful for a game, and I've got Michael O'Connor, who's 100% fit physically, but still has an issue with the groin, and we have Rob Mielsen, and we needed one more in there. So we have to bring in competition for places and make sure that if players drop out in the next 2 or 3 months, we have good players being able to come in, and all at the previous 4 months when some of those players couldn't come in because they weren't good enough to step in. So we had to play players through loss of form and perhaps carrying little niggles, and we'd love to put others in, but they were never right to go in.
How much more business? One more? Is that right?
Well, maybe one more. We've put a very, very good offer to a football club for a player. We've matched the value of which they've asked, but that never means done deal. We matched a very, very good offer from Wolves to Wigan Athletic for Nwadiko, but it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. So we will see where that offer goes. We've already had another offer that was turned down over the weekend for another player, separate player. We said we wouldn't go back. We're not going to go back. And then we'll have a look at where this one goes. But if that falls away, then it falls away. We're good enough to go with what we've got.
Tell us a bit more, surely. Can you give us a bit more on what you're planning here with this player? Which position? Premier League club? Championship club? Anything you want to share, Steve?
Well, he's a good player. That's what I can share. listen, it's,
I was hoping for rather a bit more than that, to be honest.
Well, we shared bits about Nwadiko, didn't we? And a football club signed him, and apart from seeing him against the Millers, that manager had never seen him play as a striker. But they decided to put such an offer together, and he is an exciting talent, and you're going to do wonderful things in the game. But I wouldn't be signing a player, and I don't think Tony Shute would want me to be signing a player that I've never seen play in his position other than against my team. So so we're not going to get any information out. Let them go.
Defence, midfield, attack.
Three good areas of the team.
Yeah, which one does this player fall into?
It could be in any
area. It could be a goalkeeper, of course, but I doubt that.
No, it's not a goalkeeper.
Defence, midfield, attack.
Could be any one of those. What we don't want to do is send any signals out there who it could be. And people have a way, and I'm looking at you right now here, people have a way of narrowing it down when I say. So we're going to keep this one under wraps, but we won't have any problems saying who it is we lose out.
Anybody going out?
There might be one player goes out on loan. It'll be somebody that's obviously not played for us for a while in the first team, so if he goes out, he's got opportunities to go out. And I always said people should go and play football. And if he chooses to go and play football, I'm sure he'll go out and enjoy it. If he chooses to stay in here, then he can stay in and compete. But he's somewhere in the pecking order and getting in for us.
What about contracts for players that are already here? I remember sitting here several weeks ago now, well into last year, about Michael O'Connor, for example, who'd said on record he wanted to sit down in the new year, and you were all going to get round the table and sort something out. Is that still the plan? Have you... started those discussions?
No, I don't think the discussions have started. I think the first thing we have to do is get through the January transfer window. And then I have to obviously sit down with my board of directors and present my plans for the mm-hmm. summer. And when you're involved in a promotion race like we are, that's very difficult to really be very fine-tuning when it's a big player and a big contract and the commitment it takes from the football club, where we want to go with that. So that'll probably be the end of February before we go anywhere with that in terms of sitting down with individual players. But there is one or two players we'd like to sit down with as a manager. I want good players. Mm-hmm. I'd like Paul Douglas to be in a position where he sits down with them and agrees, but the chairman has to tick that box first, of course.
Is O'Connor one of them?
O'Connor's a good player. He's a player we'd like to see back in the team. We'd like to see him in the form that he produced September, October time, which put him back in the Northern Ireland squad, and know the player that comes back from Northern Ireland with some injuries and a lot of issues. And Michael's worked extremely hard the last two or three weeks to get himself in good physical condition again. Now it's up to him if he gets in the team, because one thing you know is we pick this team very, very honestly. And yeah. If he deserves to play, he'll play. But he has to be in the team to get a new contract. We couldn't be giving out a contract to a player that's not in the team. That would be getaway jacket and strap me up. And I'm sure our chairman wouldn't be endorsing players getting contracts that's not in the team. They have to be in the team. That's why you have a squad, and that's why we've strengthened it. But, you know, is Michael O'Connor one of our top players? Absolutely. Does he have to get in the team? Yes.
Agard, is he another one? He's up?
No, Kieran's got an option here for about 20 years, I think.
Yeah, he's got a the wee fella looks at me and says, "You've tied me in, Paul Douglas."
But said, no, I think Kieran is an option, so. But we don't take players to option as a rule. You know, we like to sit down with them, and we've got a chairman who's, as everyone knows and you know, and the people of Rotherham, is a very, very fair man. And if we sit down with Kieran again, it'll be the same time scales, no different to Michael, no different to Carrie. It'll be the end of February. I'll sit and present the plans to the board, and you know, again, our chairman has to tick that box. Do I sit here and say Kieran now should get a new deal? I don't need to worry about it. He's got an option, but it wouldn't be about an option about Kieran. It should be about a new contract, but again, my chairman has to endorse that.
Because he's a favourite here, isn't he, Agard? And credit to him, because he's made himself that with his performances, hasn't he? When you've brought other players in, he's been one for me when I've seen him who's always said, hang on, don't forget about me, and has tried to show it with his performances.
Listen, he's, you know, for what he lacks in ability, and there is sometimes a lot of question in terms of just sheer ability, you can't play unless you've got a huge heart and you've got a huge appetite to work hard and a huge appetite to not make your opponent play well and a huge appetite to score a goal. And I loved him when I first seen him play for Everton.
I get that impression when I've heard you talk about him before, that you've really kind of taken him under your wing. I'm not saying he's manager's pet, but I feel like you've got a bit of special something about him.
Well, if you were telling my players in the dressing room that, they'd say I must have two wings because Pringle's under
one. Pringle's the other one.
Who's the son of the gaffer. That's what the lads say, you know. Ben Pringle, he can do no wrong. Yeah, that's what they think. But Kieran is a young man that we love working with. He comes in, Paul, every day, smile on his face. He's always want to do finishing. He's always want to be working hard. He's always want to be involved in the game. He's always want to be going to the gym and do extra. And he embraces what we're about as a football club. And what we've tried to do is when you talk about new players coming in, it's no secret how hard the likes of Tavener and Vukic and Wes Thomas and these guys, how Richie Smallwood, how hard they come in and they work and they embrace what we're trying to do. And they match into the likes of Michael O'Connor in the last few weeks and Lee Frecklington and Rob Mielsen and Argard and, you know, Arneson. I could go through them all, kind of, you know, the Bradleys. They just work so hard. It's when they don't want that, we don't want them here. I can't make that any clearer. If people don't want to be here and don't want to embrace what this football club's about, then just leave. And we mean that. We have to have players that care as much as we care and care as much as our supporters care, who work on a Tuesday night and a Thursday night and Sundays and don't see their families and all sorts to travel around the country and come to the New York and watch us. The least those supporters and we deserve as a management team, for as hard as we work, is to go to beds at night knowing the team that we support gets picked based on merit, and secondly, they give us a go. They might not be great every week. We weren't great Saturday. I never faulted my team for effort. I couldn't fault them for effort. We scored in the 96th minute after laying Sace to the goal, and we didn't play well. And you know what they say about a team that don't play well and get something. It's a good team.
Absolutely. Tavernier and Vukic, you mentioned. Have you managed to extend their deals yet?
They'll be extended tomorrow.
Right. Good news.
Great news. But, you know, it's we you know, been speaking to Newcastle for the best part of 3 or 4 weeks, and we're very, very grateful to Alan Pardew and Steve Stone at Newcastle, because believe me, there was some people going round the house and scheme back out the back door, down the motorway, into the next house and scheme round the houses and through the back gates at Newcastle and trying to get them. But they'll extend tomorrow.
For the rest of the season, will that be?
For the rest of the season.
And Hitchcock, I think it was a formality that, anyway, wasn't it? The arrangement you got with QPR, that can be done quite easily, can it?
We think that'll happen as well. We're just waiting on Harry's and extensive talks now with a striker. He's always said that was the clear remit. But, you know, to get Tom to extend to the end of the season by Friday, of course, Harry needs to have signed a striker. So we're all watching Harry. Yeah, see what business he can done. But we're extremely hopeful that's the case. The kid loves it. His dad's on the staff at Queen's Park Rangers. He was up here on Saturday. Loves what we're all about. And didn't see Tom play particularly well, of course, on Saturday, but one of many.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of goals in that young man for Rotherham United, we hope, between now and the end of the season.
Tranmere next. Everyone will look at this fixture always because of Ronnie, won't they? And what he had here, and obviously it's him against his old club and you going there. And it was a bit lively last time, Bell Baggy and all that, I remember it. Both of you had a lot to say about that particular incident. I know you like each other, really. But it's always an interesting fixture, I think, this one, whenever it comes round.
Well, I love Ronnie Moore. But that night when they came here, he left like Ronnie Biggs, didn't he? He robbed us, took a point, you know. He just came out like the train robbery, wouldn't it, in the back door out. But I love Ronnie. He's a character. He's loved by our supporters, and hey, so he should be. Back-to-back promotions and takes them to the championship. And he's a good man. He's a Miller at heart, you know. He'll win tomorrow night because he's employed and paid to do that by Tranmere. I think if that was the difference of 3 points of getting us promoted, I don't think he'd be too disappointed because he still loves seeing Stella Miller. But he'll have his team really at it. He'll be really focused. It would be no different to me. If you come up against your opposition, I hurt badly on Saturday, I didn't beat my previous club. Ronnie, I want to beat his previous club.
Do you see him much in and around the town? Because he does still live here and he commutes. Do you ever see him?
Well, he lives in the posh part.
I can't, in the rough part.
And I can't afford to live, eat and drink when he lives. But we speak regular. We speak regular. He's always back and forth and up to try and make. We're always talking. And, you know, when you've got a lot of respect for someone and you only maybe have a third opinion on a player, and he's done it with me and I've done it with him. But he's someone, when he was the Millers manager and I was at a previous club, we spoke regular then. So he's someone I hold in the highest regard. And he'll know what we're all about. He'll know the colour of our players' eyes tomorrow night. As soon as that team sheet goes in, he'll know the shape, he'll know how we're going to play, he'll know what we're going to be saying on the side. And he'll be trying to wind me up from 7:45. But I'll take a nice bottle of wine up there and we'll share a glass afterwards. And hopefully it's a glass of wine with 3 points for us.
You've had great success here yourself, but do you ever get fed up of hearing the name Ronnie Moore for what he did? Because you will always be compared to him, at least for now, until you can get that next one under your belt.
Well, I think if anybody's comparing me, and a genuine answer to that, if anybody's comparing me to Ronnie Moore, I take that with the greatest pride, because when I walked into this football club, nobody would have used me in the same breath as Ronnie. And I knew when I came in, he was the one manager that people looked up to. Jose Mourinho left Chelsea. The other guys coming in afterwards had no chance. I left Crawley. Whoever goes in there has no chance until they emulate what I did. And I can't expect to be anywhere near where Ronnie is until I take this club up at least another level. And that's the ambition. That's why we're fighting so hard to be in the playoffs. It's I believe in the group of players. I believe in what we're doing. I believe in the structure. Our chairman gives us every opportunity to go and achieve it. And we've got a chance. But just our next objective is to come out of Tranmere tomorrow in that playoff group. And our next objective post that will to be coming out of February's last game in the playoff group. It's a month at a time here when you're trying to get in those playoffs.